Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening to all. It is November 16th. We are halfway through the month of November. Wow. And it is once again, as always, your boy, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y-J-E-F-F, the first three initials, author Jeffrey Rochelle, and this is the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Sean. I'm going to bring Sean in 2 seconds because I see him waiting online. So let me click the button. Sean.
Yo.
What up?
Yo, what up? What's up, bro?
What's going on, bro? What's going on?
Ain't nothing. Hanging out with the family. I don't do much. What's good, though, man?
Can't call it, bro. It's another Saturday, and here we are.
What's up, man? So, yes. You said you could be talking about the good and the bad of urban fiction.
Yeah, tonight we're going to talk about the good and the bad of urban fiction with, I didn't know his author name was Opalaka Lurchie, I believe I'm saying it right. But that's his author's pen name. I hear what you say.
Opalaka is a city in Florida.
Yes, I
so
think
I'm guessing.
Opalaka.
Huh? I'm guessing he's from Florida.
Yeah, I think he's down. He's on the East Coast, but yeah, he's from Florida. Yeah, he's from Florida. So we're going to talk to him tonight because I've seen a couple of his titles and they're pretty interesting, okay?
Yeah. To say the least.
So we're going to talk to that dude about the good and the bad of urban fiction. But first we're going to get started and talk about the week. So my week was pretty good. How about yours?
Cool, man. I ain't do nothing but work, man. That's all I do is work. Take care of these people. Man. That's it. I don't really have nothing exciting to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's both of us, bro, just working and, you know,
yeah.
You got the kids and all. I ain't,
you got
you know, in that area.
You got the exciting life, man.
You said what?
I said you the one with the exciting life.
How I got the exciting life?
I don't know, man. You working? You in college? Ain't you in college or something?
No. I done went and got my cert in medical building and coding, so I'm done with that.
Oh, all right. So you already in there.
Yeah, I'm finished now. But I don't pretty much do nothing. I'm just, you know, just working like you. But you got the kids and all. I ain't blessed in that area yet. So I know your pockets.
You got to get you some, man. No, you just got to make enough for yourself and
Dad, but you know, I got a bunch of nieces and nephews who think they my kids. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's grown. You don't realize too much anyway no more.
Right, because ain't your oldest daughter's how old now? She
18. She in college. She got a job.
Wow.
She can't work right now. Yeah, she take care of herself. She still live with me, but
yeah, cause I think when me and you first had got cool, I think she was like still in high school or just had got there. So I've been knowing you a long time, dude.
My 15 year old, sophomore.
Yeah, because I remember when she was, I think, 12 or 11.
I got some grown ups, man. They don't really block me too much. They do their thing, man. They don't really ask
you
much.
I feel you. They grow up real fast, though. So.
Who you telling? Shit.
All right. So, one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight, have you heard about this Walmart incident with Trina?
With Trina?
Rapper Trina. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We saw a little snippet of that. I think it was on Facebook or something. It came across the timeline.
Okay, what did you think about that?
I didn't.
Come on now, son. You mean you didn't, bro?
I didn't. I didn't really think about it. But, I mean, it that shit that happens, man. Like, and it's crazy because I never dealt with racism head on. Like, I've experienced it through other incidents. But, like, for somebody to be racist towards me, it has never happened yet. And I'm a knock on wood because I'm pretty sure it might happen one day because I'm black. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, so when I see it, I just, like, I always think, like, man, what would I do in that situation? How would I handle that shit? Because I don't know. I never did it. I never dealt with it head on. Like, somebody just fuck up on me and call me a nigga or something like that. Like, it never happened. So, I don't know how I do
right.
that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm kind of with you. I will say this. I do experience it because where I work, it is not, it has been indirect. And how would I say it? It's been indirect and up close and in person, but it hasn't been to the point where I've been called a nigga, but it's been, you feel it. You know, and I will say that I would have to say that I'm not trying to down talk my place of work, my gig, but where the location of it is, it's a predominantly white area, but mostly the black people work where I work. So it's like you can feel it, you really can feel it, and it's crazy. But my thing with the video is I really wanted to see what happened at the beginning, because where I saw it seemed like it was the middle end, and I want to know what transpired to call her a nigga, you know.
Exactly what happened. I didn't know Trina was hot. So it had to be something bad.
Yeah, she was pissed. Yeah. And then she had just lost her mom, too. So I think a lot of that anger and stuff came out at that point, too.
Yeah, that's rough to be in that situation. I just took a loss.
Right. And then we had an issue here in Naperville, Illinois. It's a suburb, maybe about 40 minutes from me, where it was, and it was on World News Tonight. It made it that far. And it was a white guy, Caucasian guy, that was in Buffalo Wild Wings. He had been a regular customer. And at this particular point, he had, it was a party of black people that sat next to him. So he went and told one of the waiters or the waitresses or somebody, I don't want them black people sitting next to me. And they went and told the people that they had to move because he said he didn't want the black people sitting next to him. And they got a whole case now because of that. You know, the employees got fired, and then the guy is banned from the Buffalo Wild Wings. But I went on to read more about it, bro, and it was saying that how some employees were saying that he's been doing that for a while. So my thing is, if he's been doing this for a while and y'all ain't doing nothing, y'all want to do something about it now because the black people went and made this, I guess, civil case or whatever about it, why wouldn't y'all stop this in the beginning? You know, that's my question. Y'all know he's been doing this. Why wouldn't y'all stop it? It could have got worse.
most of that stuff ain't a thing until it gets recorded and exposed, and it's like this big deal on the internet. So now people feel compelled to do something, because if you don't, like, that's your brand tarnished. So now you, that shit don't be genuine, though. It's business. It ain't genuine.
Yeah. I have to agree with you saying that, definitely, because I, like I said, I was puzzled to read that, and I'm like, well, why y'all ain't did nothing before about it? Why would y'all just now make a big deal about it? And that, you know,
yeah, it wasn't recorded before, so they ain't have to do nothing. But when that shit become a thing, they probably was waiting on that shit this time. Like, yeah, we gonna record his ass.
Yeah,
they probably waiting on his ass. Like, as soon as he got down, act stupid, we out. Now,
right.
Yeah, so now you feel like they got to do something, but that shit don't be genuine, man.
And it could have got worse than that. They could have beat him up. You know what I'm saying? He could have got beat up. And he, to me, he tried the right one, because it could have got worse than that. He ain't had no hood blacks up in there with him. From what I saw when they was on TV talking about it, when they was giving the interview to blacks that, you know, he had offended. It wasn't none of us hoods, because if it was been some hoods, though, it'd have been going down up in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so.
What you think about Colin Kaepernick working out for the NFL? What you think?
You said what?
So what you think about Colin Kaepernick? He working out today for the NFL.
Yeah, I was happy to hear that. You know, okay, cool. They trying to bring him back, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing. I mean, teams came down to watch him work out, so that's a sign.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy about that.
So everybody, at first, when Jay-Z first signed the NFL, everybody was saying he was a sellout. Now people find out Jay-Z the reason he can't. Colin Kaepernick got this trial. It was part of the negotiation that, but like in Jay-Z natural form, he never exposes his plan like to media. He just execute. Like, I've been watching this dude for a long time, man. He never says, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He just does it.
Right.
And then you see, right. You see the, you know, the end results. That's why I never say nothing. When he make his move, I never say nothing yet. I always say, if you go back to my post on that, I always say I'm interested to see what he is about to do, because, like, he never exposes what he's about to do until it's time for him to do it.
Yeah,
which is because you don't want to contradict yourself. You don't want to put yourself in a situation and make yourself like a damn fool. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, but I had to look at him, bro. I never once said he'll sell out. Like, oh, he was fucking with the NFL, blah, blah, blah. I knew it, bro. I was like, man, watch. This shit is about to be something. And I knew it before the season was over. Cap was going to either have his job, because they were trying to put it like Cap, like he turned on Cap and he left Cap hanging, and I'm like, man, he didn't, bro. Like, I'm telling you, man, it's gonna be something, and Cap is gonna benefit from this shit.
Right.
And Cap ain't get a damn workout. Cap wanna play. You know what I mean? Even though, so
right.
I understand people so mad at Jay, because Cap wanna play. Like, and this did happen to him. Yeah, if anybody should be mad at the NFL and don't want to be with the NFL, it's him.
You know what I mean?
But he still want to play. He an athlete at heart. He ain't bought money. Like, they gave him a bunch of money. He got that big deal with Nike. He a fucking multimillionaire. But
right. He
still want to play football, because that shit is in him, man.
Right.
That passion for the game is in him. That's like if you're an author. Let's say the industry cuts you out and say, We gonna blackball you. You can publish a book if you want, but ain't nobody gonna buy it, and ain't nobody gonna support you, nothing. And you sued her, like, if it was like an industry or something, you sued them, they gave you a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. You a millionaire now. Does that mean you don't wanna write no more? That mean you don't wanna tell stories no more, because you're
right.
Like, you still gonna wanna write regardless. It don't matter.
Regardless.
I mean, most writers anyway, I can't say like I can't speak for all writers, but most writers, there's a lot of writers out here that write specifically because they think it's a money, like some quick money or whatever. But some of us write because that's in us.
To do it. Right.
Yeah, and then the dollar amount gonna stop us from wanting to do that.
Right. That's true. That's true. Definitely.
He's still
but I'm happy
to see that. I hope he plays.
And I'm definitely happy that he's back out there. He's, like you say, training. He's ready to play. I would think if anybody would be a sellout, it would be Kanye before Jay-Z. But that's a whole different story. We're going to touch on that. But I've always had mad respect for Jay, too, because he's a Sag, just like me. So anything that he's done has always been all right with me. But if anybody's a sellout, but we're not going to get onto that, that's a whole nother brief for another story, another show. Well, if anybody, we're going to look at Kanye. But... I ain't got time to talk about that today. We'll keep that for another show, bro. Exactly, exactly. And did you hear about what Tamar Braxton said? I just had to get your opinion on that while we talking.
No, I ain't hear nothing about that.
This chick went on to say that if you do not have sex with your wife or girlfriend in 3 days, you are automatically labeled a gay man. I had to laugh at that when I went and looked at that, and I also saw the little video snippet about it, but I just had to ask so many of my brothers, like, when did we get stereotyped to say that we would be gay if we ain't had sex with the woman we with in 3 days? And I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus by saying this, but, you know, some of us, you know, we got a sad piece or two on the side. So, you know, who's to say we ain't been doing them, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm speaking for everybody, but I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying? But for that to be made by her, she's always been a chick that has amazed me because she says the most weirdest and idiotic stuff sometimes. And it's like I've never really been a fan of her. Love Tony to death. But Tamar has always been like the one that has to have the spotlight for everything.
Tamar, man, I've seen Tamar before in person, man. Tamar had her head up in the air the whole time, like super arrogant, like her whole energy is fucked up. Like I've seen her in person, bro. Like energy. Even like to work at a hotel, bro. I worked at the hotel when she was standing. She came through that joint, her whole energy. Like, you don't even look that fucking good, first of all. But
right.
You want to go with your nose in the air, that's on you, man. You know? I don't know, man. I be in my zone, man. Like, I don't think about what the hell people doing, man.
Yeah. That's
the crazy shit for her to say. I don't really know.
Yeah, like... If you ain't had sex with your woman in 3 days, right? You a lot of men can label gay.
Ducking her. Her man, ducking
right.
Her, man, I'm tired of this garbage ass. No, let me shut the fuck up. He's ducking
yeah,
her.
Yeah,
she trying to fuck.
Yeah,
she. With that shit, he like, man, look, man, I'm out. You got this side job
right.
Over here. Maybe she
right.
Think he get. I don't know.
Yeah, I was amazed to hear that. Like, wow, for her to make that comment, like, oh my, you're a gay man if you ain't had sex with a woman, your woman, I should say, in three days. Well, like, come on now, really? Like, yeah. I think she ain't been right since then. Vince dropped her. Like, then
I'm surprised she didn't say like he cheated. Like, he. If he ain't had sex with your woman in 3 days, he cheating. Where the fuck did gay shit come from? Like that's left
right.
Field. I see what you like.
Right.
He probably fucking bro. Like he ain't had sex with you in 3 days. He fucking an bro. Like
right.
I would have respected that more than just trying to goddamn fuck with a nigga whole sexuality. Like goddamn.
Yeah.
But fuck that.
Put it out there. Definitely. All right, so my five books of the month, Sean, here they go. I got number one, Rick Ross's Hurricanes, a memoir. Number two, Diamonds and Pearls by Quan. Number three, When the Sad Nigga Catch Feelings by Jessica N. Watkins. Number four, Never Trust a Big Butt in a Smile by Karen Lee. And number five, Selfish Intentions by LaVon. Now, as always, this show is sponsored by Beggars Pizza in Gary, Indiana. They open till 12 a.m. The address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana. And their number is 219-951-0695. So anybody in the Gary Miller, Indiana area or near there, stop by Beggar's Pizza. They open till 12 a.m. tonight. They own by two of my homeboys from high school I went with, Jonathan Harris and Quentin Sellblock. So go by there and tell them Jeff sent you. You might get a discount. Again, that address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, and their number is 219-951-0695. And Mickey's on Stony, home of the famous jerk fries. They open till 1 a.m. Their address is 8126 South Stony Island in Chicago. That's on the southeast side of Chicago. And that number is 773-902-8200. Again, that's Mickey's on Stony, and they open till 1. 8126 South Stony Island, and that number is 773-902-8200. And Layla Sports Bar, that address is 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. Layla Sports Bar and Grill, they just opened up. I believe they're opened up already, but I haven't heard too much information on it. But that address to Layla Sports Bar is 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois. Okay, so tonight on Me and Sean's show, we're going to bring on author Apalaka Lurchie, a.k.a. Mario Smith, and we're going to get a brief understanding of who he is, know who his books are, and we're going to talk about the good and the bad of the urban fiction world. And I see Apalaka Lurchie in the queue, so I'm going to bring our brother in. So none other than bring on Apalaka Lurchie, a.k.a. Mario Smith.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up, bro?
Yo.
What's happening, man? Hey, man.
Hello.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. So,
what's good, man?
Am I saying it right? Is it Apalaka Lurchie?
It's Apalaka Lurchie. I keep saying it's open locker, man.
Okay.
Correct
me if I'm wrong here.
Open locker, like open locker in Florida?
Yeah, open locker in Florida. I'm from open locker in Miami, so I just use open locker before my name, Lurchie.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. It made perfect sense to me, man. You man, Jeff, man, it kind of threw him off, man. Got to work with him.
Okay.
It's good.
All right,
though,
bro.
Man.
So tell us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, bro.
Well, I'm 28 years old. I just turned 28 last week. I started writing urban fiction in prison. I was still around April 2018. You know, I went to prison and I started to notice that a lot of people was into urban fiction. So I started to see when I pick up the books and I read them, I noticed I was like, man, these stories are pretty good, but I got plenty of stories like this myself that I pretty much could write this, or, you know, I could do something like this. So I started writing urban fiction for that purpose, you know. And when I came home in January of this year, you know, I just started getting focused and getting on my grind. And it's actually been taking off rather fast for me, faster than I expected.
Okay. And how long have you been writing?
I would say a little over a year now, but I just published my first couple of books in July of this year. But I've been doing it since I was locked up.
Okay. And what was your purpose? What made you want to decide to write?
Well, at first, it was the past time, you know, based off boredom, you know what I'm saying? I was just writing, saying, you know, other people writing urban books, I could write some shit like this. Let me see if it's good or if I could put something together. I had a lot of time on my hands. And when I was writing it and it was coming together with so many months passing, I started to let people read it because, you know, I wasn't taking it serious. I was letting people read it. And people were telling me that, you know, there's some good books. Like, they were like, man, this shit better than the books that I'm buying online. So, I mean, you need to take this serious when you get home, and that's how it all started.
Okay. Okay.
So, did you write all your book? And then where did you got home in the
public? Pardon me, what you say?
I said you wrote all your books and then you waited till you got home to publish?
Yeah, that's correct. I mostly had all of them written except maybe two of
them. On the inside when you was locked up and then when you came home.
Yeah. Okay. I only wrote two since I've been out, but all the rest of them are already locked up. I still got stuff that I read that I haven't released yet that I'm in the process of releasing.
Yeah. Your story is similar to mine. I was locked up too. I was in the feds. I did 9 years. And I was in there writing. I never published anything, though. I just kept writing. And I waited till I got home. When you got home, was it the people there that kind of assisted you with the course or what it takes to publish?
Well, how it happened was when I came home, I'm a research fanatic, so I just started Googling, YouTubing, and doing all that to find out as much information, and I started kind of finding my way on my own. And along the way, you know, the good God above, he put certain people in my life that kind of gave me some pointers, and I kind of got the hang of it rather fast.
Okay. Do you think you write with a purpose, or do you just like to tell stories? I ask everybody this, because writing with a purpose is different than just saying, I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to tell this urban story because I think everybody's going to read it. But when you write a book, do you say, I want somebody to get this from this story? I want a lesson learned from this story.
A little bit of both. And I'm going to tell you why. Because in a way, yes, I do write with a purpose because I got a lot of stories that I've experienced and that I want to put messages out. But at the same time, it's also a business and you got to also make books that's going to affect the bottom line in a positive way. So I can honestly say it's a little bit of both. I want to write stories that's going to give a message and help, but I also want to be successful at what I do. And I want to be profitable.
And sometimes the books that when they feel like you're trying to kick knowledge, they don't sell as well. So you got to be able to, you know, manipulate it a little bit and be able to maneuver between both. You know, like I'm going to try to drop the jewel, but I got to still make this joint entertaining. You know what I'm saying?
And what a lot of people don't know, I'm actually a self-help author also, you feel me? But just like what you say, the books where you're trying to drop jewels, they don't do as well, you know?
Yeah,
so I'm just kind of sticking to what I know.
Yeah, I understand, man, because I tried to write a book that was more so through the guidelines of what we go through as young black males. And even though it was a fictional story, it still didn't do as best as my shoot 'em up, bang, bang, kill everybody in the goddamn book. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It didn't do as well as that one did. Like, people were like, oh, this ain't what you've been writing. But it's cool, you know.
Yeah, I experienced that too. My most popular series is called the Diamond Series. And it's basically about a bunch of girls in Miami that's selling pussy and tricking and stripping because, you know, down here where I'm from, that's what a lot of these girls do down here. So I was able to write this story like it was my life, you feel me, because I've seen it all my life. And that's why it's very popular. Like, that's my most popular series. Like,
how's the book scene in Miami? Is Miami showing you love?
To be honest, I'm going to keep it real with y'all. Miami, I have some fans down here, but I got most of my fans from out of town because I don't know what it is, but it's like your hometown never show you as much love as other places. Like, you get bashed and ridiculed and attacked the most in your hometown more than you do outside of your hometown.
And I heard a lot of people saying that because when I came home and I dropped my first couple books, man, my city wasn't me. Like, my city came out and showed me how to love. What I do hear a lot of the authors say that, like, yo, your hometown and all that, blah, blah, blah. I even hear people from my city saying that. But, yeah. I don't know. I just be like, yeah, man, it might be the case for you, but it wasn't the case for me. But, yeah,
yeah,
I heard a lot of
it's a different experience for everybody. But for me, that's been the case. Like, I've dealt with more hate from people down here than from out of town. Like, a lot of people tend to like the stories from out of town more than down here.
And that's what we want to talk about tonight, too, the good and the bad of the urban fiction world. Like I said, when I saw your post, bro, that one day, that's why I said I have to get you on the show, because I'm like, I want to talk about it. Because when I went to I want to say it's a known book fair here at the Chicago Urban Book Expo. When I went there this year, I walked into the joint, bro. You know, I spoke to all the authors that I knew, but it was this one particular chick that's written under the lady that presents it, the author that presents it every year. She was one of the authors under her belt. So when I walked in, it was her and two dudes. They were sitting at her table, and they was, like, clowning everybody. Like, everybody that walked past, they was, like, talking, you know, shit about them. And I'm like, okay, you know, first of all, how you an author sitting up there talking about people at this event? Then you got your nose up in there, because first of all, you ain't all that cute. You okay, but you ain't all that cute. And then you sitting there talking about people. I'm like, somebody come over here and knock all your shit off. You know what I'm saying? And you don't even know. You in a different city. You don't know the people that live in this city. And it's like, I kind of felt that, like, you don't know who's walking to your table to look at your book, so who you going to interact with. And needless to say, there was nobody, like, coming to the table to get anything from her, nothing. She was just, like, had her nose suckers in the air the whole time. You know, like, she was just there to be, you know what I'm saying? You all right, but you ain't all that, you know. But I've experienced, you know, that issue. And then there's, like, a lot of other authors. It's like it could be a crabs in a barrel mentality, too. So it's like I watch who I interact with, bro, and who I'm, you know, say I'm cool with, and who I can just say, okay, I speak to you, but that's it. You know, it's been a lot of that. Yeah. And when you wrote that status, I was like, okay, I can definitely get him on the show to talk about that, because it's like, it's crazy that you see so much, and you would think that we all would be cool and we all on one, you know, page to write books for readers, but it'd be so much shade and so much hate, it's ridiculous.
Well, if we go talk about the ugly, let me get into the ugly first. Well, obviously, the good side of the urban industry is, you know, we get to work on our craft and we get to put out the type of work that we want. We don't have nobody telling us what we can write, what we can't write, and we get to put our talent to the world and make some money in the process. So that's the good side. The bad side is what I've noticed about this urban author industry, and I'm not saying this to sound sexist or misogynist or anything like that, because I do love women and care about them, but I feel like it's geared more towards a female audience and more towards, like, maybe women authors, because it's predominantly most of the writers are women and most of the readers are women. So what tends to happen is most of the stories that are being written are written from a woman's perspective for a woman reader. So me as a male coming into the industry, trying to come into an industry that's geared more towards a female audience, is like, I ain't going to say it's been hard, but when it comes to, as far as getting your story respected, it's not as easy, because a lot of women tend to want to read other women's books because they feel like it's going to gear towards what they want. And when you're a male author, they look at you and think, okay, it's just going to be some gangster shit. It ain't going to be no love. It ain't going to be no emotion. So I'm not going to take his work as serious. And
I think you got to it's a slippery slope, man. I kind of experienced that a little bit, but I get it, though. I get it. I mean, I see it. I understand. I get it. It's like a woman going to know how to speak to another woman. And as a writer, that's basically what we're doing. We're speaking to our reader through a story.
Yeah.
A woman is going to be better, a little better at that. Which is, but I mean, that just makes me want to chop in my knife. You know what I mean? I know, like, when you know what you are, bro, you just come in this bitch and you stop with a knife and you say, all right, I'm already behind. Because, like, it's a fact. Like, women, it's going to be easier for a woman to write because it's a predominant, like, our target audience is predominantly women.
Yeah, that's correct.
So it's like, it's going to be a struggle. And, like, when you compare yourself to women, you know, advice I can probably give you is just don't compare yourself to them. Like, just stay on your lane and try not to let that affect you, because there's really nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
If we speak the language. When you write a book, it's like you're speaking the language. Naturally, if this is a predominantly woman, like, if our target audience is predominantly women, naturally a woman is going to know how to goddamn lick their kitty a little better than we do. Like, it's just a fact. And there's really nothing you can do. Like, I wouldn't even let that frustrate me, man. I mean, it's definitely a fact. You ain't saying nothing wrong, but It's just that's how it is, man. Like, they gonna know how to speak their language a little better than us. They know how to touch feelings a little better than us. Their emotions gonna, they know how to put their emotions into a little better than us. Cause like, we ain't really, like, we ain't really emotional.
So I'm gonna ask this question to both of y'all. How do we get our brother Serene more? Cause a lot of my homeboys have counted our right. And I try to gear center my books towards everybody, but I know we really don't read. You know, it's a lot of us brothers that write, but a lot of us that we know, you know, our homeboys that don't read, our cousins, you know what I'm saying, brothers don't read. So it's like, what do we do to get them to pick up a book? Like, how can we appeal it? Because I even tell my homeboys and my barber, you know, and everybody else, like, look, you say you don't read because it's not enough male perspective books, but here I got this author, like I put my homeboy on you. You know, I want to, you know what I'm saying? I'm a person that likes to get an advocate for reading, but I hear that a lot. So what is it that you think we can do, you know, to make our brothers read more?
Well, first of all, we got to make it more, as I would say, popular, because, you know, most people nowadays, especially a young male group of African-American men and a target audience of a certain age range, they mostly into music. And music is really the trend and the thing right now. And, you know, most people look at reading as something that's lame or whatever, even though that's not the case. But even if they just reading a hood book, most of them look at that as, oh, you lame, you read books, you a nerd. So most people don't want to read, as far as young men, for that purpose, because most African-American men are trying to portray themselves as gangsters and thugs. And even if we write a book that gears towards their interests, they don't want people to know that they're reading books. So that is a great question. You know, it's kind of hard.
You got to find different avenues, man. Like, most of us did read in prison. So, I mean, that's definitely an avenue to try to target. You got to try to figure out, how can I get my book in prisons? Like, one of my one of my last books I dropped, man, like, they got this thing, like, because I used to look up a couple of my homies when they got locked up. This thing called FBOP Inmate Locator. And, bro, I looked up a couple names on that joint, just random names, bro. And I just, they were in different prisons, and I was just mailing them books. I'm just mailing books to fucking strangers.
Yeah.
People come out of me, man. Your state prison probably got a way where you can locate an inmate. You can use that system just to get their name and number. That's all you need once you got their name and number. You can mail the fucking book in there.
When you mail the book, how has that helped? Like, has that been an effective method for you?
I mean, it has, because I sold books to the prison. Like, I've had people call me, like family members call me, like, yo, I want to send such the new copy of your book, because he like your other one. Yeah, it helped. Like, you got to just think outside the box, like, and don't be scared to give a little something away, just to get something back, because the prison, man, is so sweet. I mean, it's so deep, because it's like, once your book on that compound is on that compound forever, when a nigga get released, they're not taking that book with them. Most of them, I mean, just a couple petty motherfuckers, they might just be like, oh, I'm taking my book with me, but 9 times out of 10, that junk will get passed around a million hands. And even if that's true, didn't bring you any money, your name is on that book, bro. People are like, oh, who is this nigga? Oh, yeah, I read one of his books. They're going to go get on the phone, call their family member, and be like, here's Open Locker, got any more books on that? Because I read one of his dogs that's in the suite. That's if you got a series. They might have read part one. See if you drop part two yet. See if you can find that one on Amazon and send it in here. Or see if you can get in touch with him and get his books and send it in here. Like, I've seen it, bro.
Yeah,
I've seen it. I ain't overnight, but it's like a little process you can use. It's just take a couple books. Man, I'm going to take these 10 books and I'm going to send it to 10 different prisons. It's not going to make you no money right then and there, but over the course of time, that's millions of hands touching these 10 different books, because all these prisons, the book is never coming off that compound. Every time
that's
they get locked, they're still on that compound. And that's just an idea,
that's
bro.
I kind of had already thought about that, too. You feel me? That's how I know great minds think alike. Because when I thought about that, I thought that I was the only person that was thinking like that. But every idea a person has is always somebody else with that same idea.
Yeah. Because you've been there, bro. You was already there, so you already know. Niggas out here in the streets not reading, but shit. Behind the walls,
Urban
man.
Books, Urban Books is like a movie in the chain game because we don't have movies in us. So an Urban Book is a movie to us.
Exactly, and they trying to escape, man. A lot of time off of might be on lockdown, 2021, you'll never know their situation. And that book fucking around, you don't send it to the dude that's on 2021, but you can send it to somebody, you can pass it to somebody, and pass it to somebody, and before you know it, the book in the suit.
Yeah.
That's all going to be like crazy, bro. Like, I ain't saying it maybe a millionaire or nothing, bro, but people call me like family members, like, yeah, my brother locked up. He said, goddamn, he read your book when he was in the joint. And he was trying to see if you had any more. I'm going to get them for him and send them to him. And they'll ask you the process. How can I send them? I sent a couple books to prison and they came back. That's a lot of downside, though, that you can deal with, like, some prisons.
I just was saying that. They don't accept everybody books, and they don't accept every cover because, you know, certain covers I have gotten the books rejected.
Yeah, every prison. Now, in the federal prisons, 9 times out of 10 is going to get in there. They're going to do really, I mean, like state prisons. State prisons be a little strict about what's coming in and what's going out. But federal prisons, man, like, they let everything in. As long as
a state prison. A state prison to block the book just because of the title. Like, my title of one of my books is Pussy Worth More Than Diamonds, and they blocked it from going in just because of the title. Pussy on it. So, it happens.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that, you know. I've heard that certain books, you know, when you send them to the feds and stuff, that they block them because of the titles and all that. So, I definitely agree. But one of the things I can agree with y'all on is, like, most of our brothers that's locked up, they read more. But like you said, bro, it's like you got to appeal to them because with the music aspect and everything, they like, you know, people rap it. They like beats. They want to make music. So it's like, I guess that's the way to appeal to more of us to get, you know, read, because that is what I've always heard. Even when I was a shorty growing up, you know, reading them, most of my homeboys are, you know, other, you know, guys in my class, like, why you reading? That's lame. That's this and that, blah, 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 woo, woo. You know, so it's like, you know, how do you appeal to them to get to read? And that's why I say I try to put, you know, my homeboys onto, like, the gangster, because they like the gangster literature. So it's like I try to put them onto, you know, like, Sean and, like, you and, you know what I'm saying? And anybody else that a male that writes, because they say, well, it ain't enough male writers. It's always all these female books. So my thing is, it's like, we out here.
Yeah.
Are you picking up our books and reading them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I appreciate that for you, you know, telling people about my work.
No problem, bro. Definitely. Like I said, because a lot of my homeboys, like, well, I like to read this. Now, like, I got one homeboy I went to high school with. He's brought every book that I have written in the last 4 years, and he's read all of them, and it's like he's just like, dude, you need to write another book, blah blah. But in the meantime, between time, I tell him about other male authors that wrote books, and I'm like, okay, you need to check this person out or check this author out, or, you know what I'm saying, you like that, you know, that it's a lot of male authors you like to read, so him and put you on my other homeboy who writes books, and, you know, whatever the case may be. So I try to give him, and like I said, anybody else that's, you know, one of our, you know, homeboys, male, you know, black males, another book to read for another black male, because like y'all said, it's a lot in the females, but what about us? You know, it's a lot of us out here that write too, you know, so.
Yeah,
definitely.
And you know, one thing I noticed that the game done,
Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say that I noticed that the game done changed a little bit in the urban fiction industry, because if you notice, like, it's more about, like, a love story between a female finding the biggest dope boy than the actual, like, street lit. Like, if you notice, like, when you write street lit, it used to be more popular back in the days, but it's, like, out here, it's, like, the street lit don't do as good as the love stories or the ratchet stories involving females, like, if you, in case you didn't notice that. Why is that, though?
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah, I have. It's a definite difference. Definitely. It's like everybody
because,
knows that ratchet story. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you look at an era like when Quan or K-1, however you want to say it, was dropping his books, that was more like street lit. That wasn't mostly like love stories. But like, I noticed that that type of book is just not being written right now by most authors.
Yeah, because I guess what's appealing to readers, and me and Sean talked about that last week, was if it's not a love story, it's erotica or something really, really ratchet. And that's kind of why I kind of got versatile with it, bro. And I wrote an erotica book that's going to be a series on my end, because it's like that's what everybody likes to read. And when I do these book events, that's the book that sells off my table more. I got three other books. I wrote a hood book based on my high school years and days, but that erotica book is the first book, bro, to go off my table whenever I send a book event or have readers come to my table. That's the first book that they come and grab.
Yeah, I can imagine people love reading about sex.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's like, that's what made me want to dabble in it, because it's like, okay, I've read a little bit about myself, but this is what everybody likes to read. This is what they do. And like you said, the females, that's what I get most at my table too. You know, because at these events is mostly females too. But like I said, that's the first book that goes off my table. That book.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, they love it, bro. Love it. Okay. I got two callers in the queue. So I want to bring the first one on, area code 302-0047. You're on the Saturday Spotlight with Sean. And is it Opalock Lurchy. All right, I'm going to bring them in. 302-0047, speak.
Hey, guys. It's TJ LaRue. How are you tonight?
Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
Not a thing. Just listening, like always. Great show. But I just wanted to just, you know, give all of you guys kudos. One thing that was brought to my attention that I didn't realize that there weren't a lot of male writers. So that's something that I definitely want to keep an eye out. So just, you know, just kudos to all three of you guys for bringing that to my attention tonight.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Definitely.
But great work, you know, keep things going. I'll still be here following through on you guys, so keep going.
All right, thanks, sis.
Thank you. We appreciate your motivation.
You're welcome. You got it, guys. We'll talk later. All right, bye.
All right. All right, I see in the queue we got area code 502-8327. You on the Saturday Spotlight. Go ahead and speak.
Hey. Hello, everybody. This is Jay from Louisville. Well, from Chicago, but I live in Louisville now.
Okay.
I was listening to you guys talk about, hey, how y'all guys doing? Hey, Jeffrey.
What's up? How you doing?
I was listening to you guys talking. Just like the other caller said, I was not aware that it was a lot of male writers out. And also, I think that more women just maybe promote their books more, do you think? Because that's all I see is a lot of women books in it. But it's also the promotion of the book. And about the erotica thing and women going towards the sex books. Have you guys ever thought that it's a lot of women out here that have a wild imagination and they're not sexually that active, so they turn to a book to read to get intrigued?
I can go for that, yeah.
It's a lot of lonely women out here. Maybe that's why they read the erotic books first.
That's
yeah,
true.
Man. You might have to see it. Yeah, like men, for real, men not gonna be lonely, man. We can got to find somewhere to go.
And that's exactly why more women go, you know, directly towards the sexual book, because it's more women that read that than, you know, then act off of that sexual act. They'd rather read about it first.
That just goes back to what I was saying. Like I was saying, I'm talking about the market, it's females. Men don't really read like that when you're talking about versus women. I ain't saying no men read, but some men do read. But When you talking about the ratio of men versus women that read, is the men we'll use a 5-to-1, 10-to-1. So you gotta expect a female writer to be able to connect with another female easier than a male. But I mean, it ain't nothing that's gonna stop nothing, but it is kind of like a thing.
Well, that's, yeah. If I knew more men that you know, wrote, you know, sexual books like, you know, the one like my cousin or whatever, you know, then I think it's promoted more than women to read more books, because I want to know what's on the man's mind, too.
Yeah, that's correct.
How they look at sex and how they
start reading. I'm actually going to start writing erotica, you know. I actually have a book coming out called That Dick Deadly. So it's kind of like an erotica. Yeah.
You don't even know when that book comes out.
My name is Mario Sleep on Facebook, so you can follow me and I'll keep you updated on it.
Well, I tell you what, let's give Jay from Louisville a book of yours, and then Sean, let's give a book of yours too.
Yeah, I like that.
That'll be great. That'll be great. I like to sing some of you guys' mind.
Yeah, I
got the perfect group for you.
Which one is a lot of like people, they dying in my books, man. Like it's going down. But that's
I like
just
to
what
read
was,
a good book.
That's what I was. You know.
A good book is a good book, whether it's sexual, whether it's about street life. Whether, you know, everybody, it's something that everybody can relate to in some type of way.
That's correct. That's correct. So what you prefer, paperback or e-back or e-book?
You know, I'm kind of old. I like paperback.
Okay. Well, you got Jeffrey on Facebook information?
Yeah, I do.
All right. He gonna inbox him, and then he going to show you my page, and then I'll get your information or whatever and send you the paperback.
Okay. And you guys keep up the good work. Keep them books coming. I hate that the inspiration, you know, was for one in jail, but, you know, hey, you get inspired when you get inspired.
Yeah.
So just keep it up. Keep it going. I like to say that. Men, real men, they write.
Yeah. Actually, one of the best things come for me. Half of the money I make nowadays is because of writing. And writing has given me the opportunity to stay home and do what I love to do and make a decent living doing it.
That's right.
All right. Well, Jay So Jay from Louisville, I definitely get information from Mario, and I definitely get some information. Well, I connect you too, okay?
Keep up the good work. I love the show.
Yes.
No problem.
Keep listening.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. So, Sean, you got any last words for Mario before we get out of here?
Yeah, you want me to know, hey, I'm not going to let him get away with this platform without asking him where he get these titles from. Man, I got to know what inspired these titles. Yeah, your titles, like the titles of your book.
Yes.
He jump on this. I got to know. Like,
you want to give me a title specifically?
Huh?
Which one specifically? Like, which title specifically?
Let me see. I got to go look it up, man. Because I looked at a couple of your titles.
John,
what was it?
I got Pussy Worth More Than Diamonds. I got Whole Activity. I got Whole Activity too. I got No Feelings For It, nigga.
Yeah, I mean, that ain't that bad.
Let me see. We got 5. I got The Art of Tricking. Pussy Worth More Than Diamonds. Pussy on Fleek.
That's the one. Stank Pussy on Fleek. What inspired that title?
Well, Basically, I ain't gonna lie. I kind of took a page out of Quan Mills' book with that one because you know he always got these funny ass titles that catch everybody's attention.
Yeah.
You know, I was writing a book about some hoes that had some stink ass pussy, and I wanted to make it funny. And I was like, when people say on fleek normally mean it's like a lot of this, and stink pussy. It, with these particular hoes, they have it on fleek. It's a lot of stink. You feel me? So I just put it together and made it funny, like, you know.
That's a definitely, yeah, man. What I was going to say, oh, yeah, your Facebook page, man. I sent you a friend request the other day, and I seen your Facebook page. You a funny dude, man, anyway. Just generally, like, I was like, this dude is weird, man.
Like, I was tripping. You know, a lot of people say I'm funny.
A lot of your posts, I just was like, when you said something about stop trying to sell them old-ass cars for $3,500, I was dying laughing.
What kind of car was it?
1998
Buick.
Yeah, they said stop trying to sell these 1998 Buicks for $3,500, bro. Hey, that shit was, even that's on the head, but that shit was funny. Hey, that nigga Jeff rushing us off the air, though, man.
Yeah, he got it, so I respect it. I mean, you know, y'all can hit me up anytime off the show, though, you feel me? So, shit.
Definitely. Yeah. Drop your links for your Facebook and everything. Where can people find you at?
For me, I'm Mario Smith on Facebook, aka Opalaka Lurchy, the author of the Face of Opalaka. So, you know, just search Mario Smith. You should see a cover of my book, The Art of Tricking, and you'll find me on there.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for coming on tonight, bro. Appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on tonight, talking with us, and definitely I want to get you on again in the future.
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay. And what's in store for the future for you?
I'm just going to keep writing and see where it go.
Okay, cool. All right, well, there you have it, everybody. Opalaka Lurchy, a.k.a. Mario Smith, joins us tonight. Definitely, bro. We're going to definitely holler at you a little later, and you got to enjoy the rest of your night, okay?
No problem. All right. Y'all have a good night.
All right. You too, bro. All
right.
All right, Sean. So next week, we got Ashante Keys. I don't know if you know who Ashante is, Sean, but we got Ashante Keys coming on to talk to us about her books. And it's our special Thanksgiving show. So me and Sean are going to talk about the do's and don'ts of Thanksgiving, what we don't want to see on our timeline with everybody that's cooking this food and what we would like to see, but what we don't want to see on this timeline. So definitely next week, we got a good show in store for you when we talk to author Ashante Keys. And Sean, you want to say anything while we got 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left?
No, I'm good, man. Y'all, everybody be blessed, be peaceful. Stay in your lane, stay sucker free. I'm gone.
All right, bro. Well, I'll definitely connect with you next week. And as always, as I say on here, what you do for Christ is the only thing that will last. So this is the Saturday Spotlight with Jeff and Sean. And you guys take care. Have a good week. And let's live for the weekend Saturday. And we will see you next week.
Preview. Preview.